Good morning, everybody. We're holding in Perek Yud Gimel of the Tiferes Yisrael. The ongoing discussion which the Maral is having here is trying to explain the significance of the curriculum of Torah. The curriculum of Torah, which would seem to be, which he's addressing the philosophers who find it very mundane, talking about things like oxes goring cows, and who knows what. Wouldn't we be perhaps better off if we were talking about things or learning about things which were more highfalutin, like angels and galaxies, and bigger things, bigger matters, larger matters than the things which Torah addresses? And we've been talking about this. The Maral has been talking about this from different angles to this point. But in this parak, he's going to continue the discussion. The way it can perhaps be subtitled is Al Tistakel Bekankan Ella B'Masha Yeshbay, which is in fact the Mishnah which Maral quotes a couple of times in his discussion here. Do not look, like we would say in English, the expression is don't judge a book by its cover. And although I understand that Mr. Feldheim has in his office a little plaque which says, anybody who says don't judge a book by its cover never sold a book, right? But the Mishnah says don't judge, don't look at the barrel, look at its contents, right? Yesh kan kan chodosh mala yoshan. You can see a brand new barrel filled with very rich aged wine, and sometimes you can have a very fancy aged cask with nothing in it at all. Afilu chadash ein bo. So what he's going to be speaking about here, the idea which he's going to be developing here, is that there's a levush, there's an outer appearance in Torah, and there's an inner reality of Torah as well. And while when we look at the outer, we look at the barrel, we look at the cover, it may seem to be talking about things which are not so lofty or substantial or significant, but it belies what's really there, what's really, in a deeper sense, inside, what the Torah is all about. We've been talking about significance of the Torah being the God's word, the Torah being the tzura, the direction of the world. But even where you perhaps can't exactly see that at first glance, at a superficial look at it, but you have to understand, we have to recognize that it's not always the way it is. And the way he starts off this discussion is by a very simple thing. He says, Kara l'tairas ha'adam, masha kara el ha'adam. What happened to the Torah that was given to man reflects exactly what happened to man himself. He says, look, a person stands and lives down here. It's true. He has with him an neshama that was taken, was, so to speak, quarried from beneath Hashem's throne, from the highest level. He has the Tzelem Elokim, the divine image, which is Malo Hel Yona, the uppermost level. So we say, but nevertheless, you look at a person, and what do you think? And what do you say? It's in there. You know that it's in there. But on the other hand, you can't necessarily discern its presence so easily. It's not visible. It's not necessarily tangible. That's what happened to man. So he says the same thing, to some degree, happened to Torah. Im sheim dvarim gashmiim. Even though they're physical things, they talk about physical material realities, but there's an inner reality there, a side pnimi shu aymed berumei shel olam, that is above and beyond the world. So he says, look, so you'll say, how through the Torah, which speaks about mundane things, does a person get to the Olam Haba? Well, how does a person who seems to be so physical and mundane get to the Olam Haba? We understand that there's the outer and there's the inner. And this, what happened to the Torah, is what happened to the human being. Now let's try to consider this a little bit. A human being was created b'tzelem elokim, in the divine image. One would imagine that that should be readily apparent and visible. Yet, we had a guy who came along, and he made a good point. His name was Charles Darwin. He made a good point. He says, take a look, okay? Anybody wants to be a little bit unnerved, just spend the afternoon in the chimpanzee house in the zoo, right? Go and look at them, right? And then look in the mirror. Okay, you know, it's he's got a point there. He's got a point. Like, it looks like we have a lot in common, more than we would perhaps like to have with the animal kingdom. In fact, well before Charles Darwin came along, Chazal pointed this out. Not, of course, in his formulation, but Chazal pointed this out exactly the same thing. What did they point out? They said, Hashem created man b'tzelem elokim. Right? We know that. Then the Torah tells us about the Toldos Adam, about what happened with the children of man. It says that he had a child, Sheis, b'dmusei ketzalmai, in his image, in his form. And then it describes how Sheis had a child, Enosh. And then it doesn't say b'dmusei ketzalmai. It doesn't say in his image, in his form. It says the Medrash that image of God had already faded. Adam had the image of God, Sheis had the image of God, but by the time we got up to Adam's grandson, Enosh, who, parenthetically, we say that in the time of Enosh, Ozu Chali Kre B'Shem Hashem, that was when idolatry came onto the scene as well, that's when people started to lose sight of God, they also lost sight of the godly image in a human being, which is, of course, absolutely no coincidence. Says the Medrash, the way the Medrash says is, till now was Telem Elokim, now is no longer Telem Elokim, v'naseh pnei Adam kipnei hakof. A person's face looked like the face of a monkey. At that point, a person's face looked like the face of a monkey. A person could be confused with a monkey. Now, again, it was only the chiddush of Dr. Darwin that he would say that we are actually monkeys that just, you know, developed and evolved, you know, intelligence. We, right, but the idea that pnei Adam kipnei hakof was something which was realized long before those charts, you know, in the classrooms, you know, of going like that. So
that's your chiropractor, right?
So the idea that we would say, man, he's a human being with an outer container that's physical, that's Adam, that's earthy. But inside there's an neshama, and you don't necessarily see it. It wasn't necessarily the original condition of things. The Medrash says in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, to Rosh Hashanah Medrash, the Medrash says that when Hashem created Adam and he blew into him an neshama, and he stood up, the whole world, the whole universe of animals and everything thought that he was God. They came and they bowed down to him. By his very appearance, last week we talked about the Medrash, which speaks about how even the heels of Adam HaRishon, they made the sun, right? They appeared, they were as bright as the sun itself. There was a manifestation of the neshama that was inside on the guf outside. You didn't look at him and just see a physical being. Tell me something. If Charles Darwin's exposure to human beings would have been to Moshe Rabbeinu, with Koran or Panav, with the luster on his face, the transformative radiance of the neshama, he would have said, "Oh, human being's just a smarter monkey." Right? You would see that there's something different. You would know necessarily that there's something different that's going on here. Now, I think, just as a little bit of an aside, you know, there's a when Moshe Rabbeinu was approached by HaKadosh Baruch Hu about going to the Jewish people, so he said, they're not going to believe me. Right? They're not going to believe me. So Hashem said, okay, I'll give you a sign. The Gemara says that the Rambam was very upset with Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? What do you mean they're not going to believe you? Right? Well, I have to give you a sign. But if that's what you say, so then that's what I'll do. Sort of followed along with it. The question is that L'dayreis, for generations, we say that when a Navi comes, he has to give a sign, unless for some reason, unless he's muhsak, unless you have a reason to that he's already established, but to establish his credentials, he's got to give a sign, he's got to give a miracle, exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for. What Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for fit in to the Teres HaNetzach. So of course one could say, chicken egg, that's also a continuation. You know, just like Moshe Rabbeinu said, they're not going to trust me unless I give them a sign, So Hashem established for the generations that they won't. We shouldn't trust Nevi'im unless we give them a sign. It's all going along with that. But I wonder if the Pshat isn't different. Because you find over there also in that Parsha, that Moshe Rabbeinu hid his face. Right? So Chazal, the Gemara in Brachas, associates that with the radiance of Moshe Rabbeinu's face. And what the idea was that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have just shown up, you know, embracing Nevuah, there would have been this appearance on Moshe Rabbeinu. He would have looked different. This was a throwback to the days of Adam Arishon in Gan Eden with interaction with Hashem. And interaction with Hashem means you look different. The soul is kindled by the interaction with its source, with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come to the Jewish people, and he doesn't look like a regular person. Right? If they got to, oh my gosh, look at him. He's right. They're going to say, oh, we don't believe you. That speaks for itself. Moshe Rabbeinu would be his own sign, his own miracle. He wouldn't have to say, let me show you this trick. I'm going to turn the water into blood. Right? Pick a card, any card. His own essence, the difference that he was as a human being, would say, this human being is a human being the way he's supposed to be, a divine image, interacting with Hashem, alive with Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu pulled back from all of that. We don't find any presence of a karna, or any difficulty about looking at Moshe Rabbeinu until after he came down, after the Egel, after the Luchos Shniyos. Right? It was much later in the game that Moshe Rabbeinu was, so to speak, separate and apart. Till then, he was very approachable. Right? So that's perhaps the taina, that he chose that instead of allowing it to be part of himself. But there's such a thing. What we're talking about is there's such a thing as the neshama being visible on the person. But standard, de rigueur, since Anish and so on, is that that's not the way it is. The human being has so much inside of him, but if you look at him, you won't be able to see it. Says the Maral, the same thing is true of the Torah. Of course, the Torah addresses the human reality. Remember, that was the conversation of Moshe Rabbeinu with the Malachim when he went up to get the Torah. And the Malachim said, why are you giving them this special thing? And the Rabbeinu Shalom said to Moshe Rabbeinu, respond. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, it says, I am Hashem, you got to took you out of Egypt. Were you in Egypt? Right? Do you have Avodah Zarah issues? Do you have business dealings you have to swear using Hashem's name over? Do you have parents to honor? Do you have Shabbos to keep? You know, do you have stealing? Do you need property? Do you have adultery? None of these issues speak to you. So, of course, what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying? He was saying, look, the Torah is written for the earth. So what were the Malachim thinking? So it's clear that the Malachim were speaking about the Torah which was Kadma, the Torah which preceded the world, the Torah that the Ramban writes about in his introduction to Chumash, that it's the essence of Torah, the concepts of Torah which don't need a story or an action or a cow or a bull or a hole or a pit that a donkey falls into to have meaning. They're truths, eternal truths, sublime truths that transcend any reality. And they were saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you doing? Right? What are you giving this to this human being? Right? Moshe Rabbeinu is just coming up to heaven. What are you giving this to this Yilud Isha? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Rabbeinu Shem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, respond. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, you understand, the whole kunz over here is that we're going to take these sublime, eternal truths and we're supposed to bring them down into the earth. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a whole physical world so he could take his neshama and put it into a human being, an earthy human being. That's the whole kunz over here. That's the whole trick. So they're right. The Torah is much more than don't steal and don't commit adultery and don't take Hashem's name in vain. Right? That's just the pedestrian application of the heavenly Torah. So the Malachim were made to understand that. And that is to a great degree what we ourselves need to understand. The Malachim didn't understand why the Rabban Shem even had to do that. They saw the truth of the Torah as so significant and so glaring. What are you doing with it? He says, no, I'm trying to bring it down here. We have the inverse problem. We see the Torah down here. So we see, okay, so the Torah is telling me I should tie my right shoelace before my left shoelace. The Torah is going to tell me this story and this mitzvah and that mitzvah. I mean, it's just talking about rudimentary, simple things. And we fail to see the other side of it, which is that this is the Torah that the Malachim were fighting for.
This Torah is a hislapshus. It's a dress, it's a form of that which was so sublime that Malachim didn't understand even how it could have a place on this earth. But now Hashem showed you how you can plug it in. So don't get lost in the plug-in and forget what the source, what the original structure type of this Torah is. We have the inverse problem of the Malachim. The Malachim don't understand why it needs to be made mundane, and we, who get so sublime, why does it need to be made mundane? We don't understand, it's so mundane, why are you saying to me that it's so sublime? So there's an outside and an inside. And the way the world works, you know, maybe, in a world of Adam Arishon's neshama being visible, the truth of the Torah, the inner greatness of the Torah would also be visible. But that's the world the way we have it. That's the world the way we have it is that this is not going to be so visible, not going to be so noticeable to people. But we have to look deeper, and we have to understand that it's there, just like we do about ourselves. Maral says, this is the idea behind something which Chazal tell us, a great reality, which is that Schar Mitzvah B'Hai Alma Leka, that reward for mitzvahs is not in this world. Why do we understand that reward for mitzvahs does not happen in this world?
That's one opinion, though, right?
Rabbi Yaakov, right. That's the mitzvah, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov in the Gemara in Kiddushin and in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, right? Also, where he says, and so on, right? His teachings are focused on this idea that that the reward for mitzvah is not here in this world. The Gemara goes through and says, okay, well, certain mitzvahs, right? But we do consider that opinion very significant. So, you know, normally we see it on one level, which is that being that this world is a temporal world, it's very temporary, and it's all we're here in this world to prepare for the world to come, and the world to come is eternal. So, you know, why would you want to take it now instead of having it for the long term? You know, I'll give you $500 now, or I'll give you $50,000 if you wait a year. You know, you'll wait a year. You know, so you know to take it, right? That's usually, I think, you know, the first level of the way we see it, which of course is true, right? Whatever we experience in this world, which is passing, is nothing compared to the quality of it, the durability, so to speak, of the reward in an eternal world. The Maral says it on another level. And he says it in a way which explains the nuance that we say every morning in davening. Elu dvarim sha'adam eichel peresein ba'olam hazeh v'akem kensel olam ba. But that there are mitzvahs that we benefit from in this world, not only in the next. What is it? Says the Maral, because the true value of a mitzvah is beyond. Right? We talk about the mitzvahs. The mitzvah has an outer dress. As a mitzvah, the way it looks, the cow, the ox, right? The things that we do, even the physical things that we do. But because it doesn't begin and end there, because that's just the outer layer of an inner reality that is so much more profound, that is really of another quality, of another world, so the reward of the mitzvah is according to the essence of the mitzvah, of what the mitzvah is. And to give the reward of the mitzvah in this world would be taking something which is of a whole different quality and responding to it with something so simple, so mundane. See the mitzvah as deeper, and you understand that the consequences of the mitzvah are so far beyond the mundane. Oh, so what are the things that we benefit from in this world? Those are things where you can see the rewards of it in this world. Gemilus chasadim, kibud av v'em. Right. These are acts of kindness, honoring one's parents, taking care of bringing peace between people. A mitzvah where you see on a certain layer, the value of it in this world, so of course it will have benefits in this world because that layer is also functioning. But in mitzvahs, by and large, you see relatively nothing in this world. And the real depths of it is in a world that you can't see. And that's where the reward as well is going to be felt. That's the way the Maral says it. It's a turn, you know, to some degree, you know, on the Rambam. The Rambam says in Pirush HaMishnah, it's beautiful Pirush on that Mishnah. He
He says, when you say that there's reward from them in this world, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send certain rewards to the Elam Haba address and certain rewards to the Elam Hazeh address, some mystical reasons to divide it up. So the mitzvahs which we're rewarded for in this world is just simple cause and effect. Right? When you're good to people, right? So then people will like you and they'll be good to you. When you honor your parents, right? So then, you know, you show respect for your parents. So it sets your family dynamic, right? Then children will understand what parents are, you know? Sometimes people, you have 100 reasons why they have to somehow, you know, they're not going to honor their parents. And then they wonder why their kids don't, you know, it's very hard. You can't expect. You teach what family means by how you treat your parents. And that's going to be how your children are going to experience what family means and how they're going to act upon it. That's visible, tangible cause and effect, says the Rambam. But real reward, you know, is still going to be something for the world to come. Maharal is saying something more Maharalian, right? Well, he's saying that it's different currency. It's a different currency. There's something where its value, its real value, is of another world. So, of course, the schar is of that other world. Something where its value is tasted in this world, so then it is there. If you ever have a chance, you should learn the Ramban on the Pasuk in Parshas Acharemos, where it says, these are the mitzvahs that a person should do, v'chai bohem, and live through them. It's a famous Pasuk. In fact, we learn from that Pasuk a fundamental halacha, the halacha of pikuach nefesh. Do a mitzvah and live through it. So we say, mitzvahs should not be the reason why a person dies. Right? Don't die because of Shabbos. Don't die because of Yom Kippur. Right? If it's a life-threatening situation, break the Shabbos, break Yom Kippur. However, the Ramban says, simple pshat in the Pasuk is that the chiyus, that the life, that the vitality you're going to get is going to be through how you do the mitzvah. And he says, if you view, this is beyond the Maral, same idea, but beyond. He says, if you do the mitzvah, and the way you see it is as a mundane tool to be able to get something in this world, then that's why Hashem's going to treat it for you, and He's going to give you that level of chiyus. He'll give you something in this world. If you do the mitzvah and you see it as something of a higher value of another world, then that's why Hashem's going to respond to you. You write your own ticket. And it's this idea about how we view it. Are we viewing the levush, the outer, or are we viewing it in the terms of its inner sense as something beyond? Those of you who learned the Be'er HaGoyla, learned with us, or learned on your own the Be'er HaGoyla, so you may recall that the Maharal says a related thing there. Not the same, but a related thing. Excuse me one second. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvarei.
Amen.
The Maharal says in the Be'er HaGoyla that he speaks about the Gemara. The Gemara says that a person who's over al divrei chachamim is chayav misa. Mar says like there's a certain chaviv in divrei seifrim that the rabbanon's rabbinic law can be more precious and more severe than divrei taira. Divrei taira, sometimes you get malchus, you get lashes, sometimes you get nothing, something. But a person who goes against the words of chachamim is chayav misa. Now, that's an astounding statement for the Gemara to make. It's not true, from a halachic sense, for sure. Right, what does it mean? So the Maharal is Mavar, the Maharal explains that Chazal is as follows. He says that Divrei Torah, Deiraisas, are something that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could tell you. That's why he told them to you. Only Hashem could tell it to us. So therefore, since only Hashem in His wisdom could tell it to us, so that means it's not something which is necessarily discernible by a human being. So we won't be able to see it. We won't be able to feel its consequences.
You're not going to come to it on your own.
But divrei chachamim are by definition things which we could understand ourselves. Okay, maybe it's only once the Torah said A, then we can understand B. But divrei chacham is, like the Maharal teaches over there in the Be'er HaGoyla, is Hashem says, I'll tell you what I have to tell you. And then what you can figure out for yourself, I want you to tell yourselves. I want you to legislate. So that the nature, the definition of Divrei Chachamim, are things which people could appreciate are a problem. And if it's appreciable by people, then the consequence should be appreciable by people. If a person puts their finger in fire, it gets burned, right? It's something which is discernible, something which people can see, can understand, and therefore they suffer its consequences in this world. The Divrei Chachamim, again, while it's not literally that the Bezin is going to give a Misa, but the consequences are discernible. witness the fact that we came up with the problem ourselves. So it's similar in a certain sense to what the Maharal is teaching over here, that schar, the high alma, reward in this world, would imply that you can understand the purpose of the action in this, simply of this world. Schar in another world is because the content, the true content of this mitzvah, is not really discernible, is not really able to be held onto just simply by the views from this world, from this world's perspective. This is how the Maharal begins. And he quotes the Medrash HaNe'elam, which is a part of the Zohar, Parshas Bahalaischa, at length. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is one of the longest quotations that Maharal brings, period. In my experience in learning the Sifrei HaMaharal, I mean, this is a very, very long quotation, and it's the Lashon HaZohar, it's in Aramaic, and he quotes it verbatim from beginning to end. He says, Amar Rav Shimon, I'm not going to read the whole thing verbatim, I'll just read you some selections of it. Vay lahu barnash, the Amar, to ho eraisa osa lachzo sipurin ba'alma umilin dehadyaiti. Woe to the person who says that the Torah is coming to tell us stories and simple matters. That the Torah is just simply a book of history, of telling you what happened with this one, with that one, with the other one, and likewise going on to instructions of simple matters. Dihachi, afilu bezimno do anani chavam amebed b'yairaisa. Milin dehadyaiti v'shvacha yotem ikulu. He says, if that's the case, we could write better stories. We could come up with better laws. He says, just to address material things, even these kafsire, the alma, even the normal governments could come up with, you know, with nicer sets of laws if they wanted to. So why don't we do them? Why don't we remake the Torah after them? Elokol milin diyaraisa, milin iloin virazin iloin. Everything in the Torah is of higher words and higher secrets. The Torah, what you're looking at, is just the shell, right? It's something which is far beyond. And the Medrash HaNe'elam brings its own thing. He says, when a malach comes down to this world, to Avram, they come dressed up like an Arab, right? That's just the way it's got to be. To come down into this world, you got to come and translate yourself into the way things exist in this world. It's the same is true of the Torah. The same is true of the stories of the Torah. It takes this. And the Zohar goes on and on that the Sipura de Eraisa are Levusha de Eraisa Ihu. That the stories in the Torah are the dress of those concepts of Torah, of the internal reality of Torah. And the person who makes the mistake to just see it on the surface is really missing something, is really undervaluing what the Torah is. And so he says that's the taich and the pasuk which David HaMelech said, which a person would say every time they start to learn. Right? There's a tefillah which we say before we enter the Beis Medrash, which is not printed in the front of this Gemara, but it's printed in front of a lot of the modern Gemaras. Yeah. It says, we say, right, I shouldn't make a mistake, I shouldn't be happy when I'm right and my friends are wrong, and they shouldn't be happy when I'm wrong and they're right, right? And so on. And then it's we end, Ki Hashem yitin chachma mipiv da'asu sfuna. Knowledge and understanding and wisdom all come from Hashem's mouth. Gal einai v'abita niflo'ois mitayrasecha. Uncover my eyes so that I may see the wonders from your Torah. Says the Maharal, that is where we're asking Rabbeinu Shel Olam that we should be able to see beyond the dress, beyond just the simple. And if Lois isn't, let me get it right, Tohar Tameh. I'll get right the practical halacha, the outcome. It's even beyond that. It's that I should see that which is nifla, that which is beyond, way, way deep below the outer layer of what's being taught here in the Torah. Gal einai v'nabita niflois mitayrasecha. No, he's saying that there's such a thing as a Torah Hanistar, But he says that everything that we study in Torah has that aspect in it. And therefore, you want to be able to get deeper and deeper, to understand deeper and deeper. Now, he's not, the Maharal is not going to be encouraging here necessarily the study of Torah Sinister, as we will see. Right? But this is what he's saying. And he says, and then he explains the Zayar. This is not the Maharal. The Zayar explains an expression which we find called Gufei Torah. Right? Or like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, right? Kinim u'pischei nida hein hein gufei halachas. Right? They're bodies of halacha. So he says that's the idea of gufei Torah. Right? There's the body and there's the soul, just like, again, continuing that metaphor, a human being. You see the body, but there's an inner essence called the neshama. In the Torah also, there's gufei Torah, there's gufei halachas. Right? The way it addresses things in the physical world. But don't let that distract you from the fact that there's going to be something beyond it, that there's an neshama to it, something which is far beyond that. And fortunate are the tzaddikim who look at the Torah kidika yeyus. Okay. So he says, so the Maharal, you know, goes on, you know, this is really what he's talking about here. This is really what he's talking about here. So beyond, you know, saying whatever, it's a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on and so forth, he says, you're just seeing the external. You're not seeing the internal. And now, so he says, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give it in a guf to bring it down to this world. So we have to study this guf, and from the guf we'll get to the neshama. From studying the outer realm, which is the way it attaches itself to us, to this world, that's the way we're going to get to the core, to the essence. And so he says a remarkable pshat and a very cryptic gemara. The gemara in the end of Megillah says, Amar Rabbi Parnach, ha'eches sefer Torah arum nikbar arum. A person who holds on to a sefer Torah arum, where it's uncovered, where it's, so to speak, unclothed, nikbar orum, he will be buried, uncovered, unclothed. So the Gemara says, why? Just because he holds a sefer Torah orum, he should be buried orum. So the Gemara, what happens is that he's buried orum beloy eisa mitzvah. He's buried without that mitzvah. Without that mitzvah. So, problem is, you know, you would say, and a person who doesn't wear tefillin is going to be buried Arum. What does it mean, Arum? He's Arum without tefillin. You know, obviously, you know, he's missing that mitzvah. Any mitzvah that you don't do, you'll be buried. The person will be buried without that mitzvah. Why does it say this? Eicha Sefer Torah Arum. So what else says, what the Gemara is saying is like this. It's not talking about the mitzvah of honoring the Torah, you know, by how you handle it and so on. He says like this. The Torah is a holy thing, and as such, we are careful not to touch the Torah directly. We say, it's too holy for us to touch it directly. We need to have some kind of a medium through which we touch the Torah. Says the Maharal, that's expressing this very same idea that we have here. The Torah is holy, it's sublime, it's spiritual, it's from another world. We, as we are, as human beings, we can't touch those ideas as sublime ideas. We need to have something, some medium, some buffer, to be able to attach ourselves to those ideas. And that is the gufei halachas. The physical, material, simple ways that those Torah, that the Torah, that those halachas are presented. As they are presented, that's the way those divine, searing concepts take hold and attach themselves to our regular, our material world. That's the way, that's the path. Says the Gemara, if a person tries to grab on to the Torah directly, if a person wants to just grab on to the concept without going through the material steps, if a person wants to be a mystic without being a halachist, forget about it. He's not going to have a connection to it. It's like grabbing onto the Torah Arum, It's like grabbing onto the Torah without a medium. And then, so the person who grabs on to a mitzvah, so to speak, the concept of the mitzvah, without the handle of the mitzvah, without the physical dress of the mitzvah, he won't have that mitzvah. He won't have that mitzvah. The way you see something is first you see the garment. Then you see then beneath the garment is the body, and beneath the body is the soul. But when you see the person all dressed up, you relate to the person that way, and that's going to be your path to the essence. That's the way it's going to have to travel. So, you know, the Maharal is saying, you're right, of course there are higher things than what we are talking about on the surface. But if you're going to try to go to those higher things, you're not going to get there. Those higher things had to be delivered down to this world in regular packages, in brown paper bags, for us to be able to see them, for us to be able to relate to them, for us to be able to connect, to grab them, to hold them. So grab them. And through grabbing them, muftach leishu ben olam haba. That's the segue, that's the path, that's going to be the way that the person gets to the next level, to the olam haba. And the Maharal has another application of this principle, another chazal. Very right. So you see here that beautiful taich in Kol Oisis Eches Sefer Torah Orom Nikbar Orom. It's a tremendous taich of that Gemara, tremendous interpretation of that Gemara. But he says also an explanation of something, big chiddush, beautiful chiddush, in something which is a halacha, a Gemara, a halacha, a practice, which should be a practice of all of us, which is the practice of Shnayim Mikra V'Yechad Targum. It says, La'ilam Yashlim Adam Parshiyosav Yim HaTzibur, a person is supposed to go through the Parsha as the Tzibur goes through the Parsha. In other words, the Tzibur has an order of Parshas HaShavua, like the original Daf Yomi, the original, you know, worldwide learning program where everybody's learning in the same place. So a person should learn along with the Tzibur. As the Tzibur is doing it, he should be doing it too. And it says, Afilu Ataras V'Divayin, everything should have, he should read it twice and translate it once. Shnayim Mikra V'Yechad Targum. And Kalamasl Parshiyas V'Matzibur Marichin L'Yem Avushnayist. If anybody who does so, so he will have long days and years. That's what the Gemara says. Like Rav Moshe Feinstein used to say, nice pshat in this Gemara. He says, why does it say that? Because he asked people, right, he said, do you do Shnayim Mikra V'Yechad Targum? So many people, unfortunately, say no. Say, why? Say, I don't have time. So the Gemara says, you do Shnayim Mikra V'Yechad Targum, I'll give you time. Okay, I'll give you longer life. Okay, don't tell me you don't have time, I'll give you time. Okay? So that's what Rav Moshe used to say. But the Maharal says a different pshat in the Gemara. And he says, what's this idea of Shnayim Mikra V'Yechad Targum? What's the idea of Shnayim Mikra V'Yechad Targum? So he says, he actually says it in two ways. We're going to focus on the first way, which is a little easier to understand. He says, Targum, there are three levels of Torah. He says, Targum is the translation. Right? They used to have a Meturgamon when they would lane, who would, you know, the Balkari would stop at the end of the Pasuk and somebody would say out the Pasuk in Aramaic. Why? Because people didn't understand the Hebrew. Once upon a time, right? People didn't understand the Hebrew. So therefore they would read out. They would say aloud the translation. They would say aloud the translation. It was for that way everybody could understand. Says the Maharal, that corresponds to the level of Torah which everybody can understand. That says as if a shor, right? Gor Zapar, or you know, Avram and Sarah were 100 years old and they had a baby. You know? The story. The simple meaning. That's one layer of Torah. Then there's a second layer of Torah. And that layer of Torah is, so to speak, is Hebrew. Meaning, you have to be more educated. It's not in the language of the peasantry. It's not in the language of the laity. You have to be a little bit more learned, a little bit more accomplished, to be able to understand it. That's a deeper chachma, which a person is going to be able to understand. And then, there's a third layer of Torah. And that third layer of Torah is that even a person cannot understand. That's the layer of Torah which we refer to like the layer of Olam Haba, the layer of Ayin Lei Ruasa Elokim Zu Asecha, that no eye has apprehended other than the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Now, I would just mention, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has a beautiful piece, I think it's in the introduction to his Emes LeYaakov on Chumash, where he explains that the idea of Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum is that there's two ways you're supposed to do it. One is a mitzvah of Kriya, read the Torah, and the other is a mitzvah of learn the Torah. So he divides it up is, one time you're supposed to do Mikra, and one time you're supposed to do Mikra with Targum. Okay, it's beautiful. Twice Mikra, once Targum. Like, what's the idea? One time it's just plain Mikra, because there's a mitzvah, like the Torah Shebechsav, the words, to just read them. And then there's another one to learn it. And how do you learn it? You read it and you teach it. You read it and you translate it. You read it and you learn Rashi. Right? That's the that's the idea. There's a learning and reading. Two gedarim. Maral is saying something different, but you can understand it in this context. In other words, there is sort of like a mikra that the Chacham is going to be able to be metargim. The Targum, the translation, is going to be necessary for the laity. The words itself, the Chacham will be able to be metargim for himself. But there's also an aspect of just Mikra. You know what the rule is with Mikra? The rule is with Mikra that if you have somebody who knows how to read Hebrew and they read the Torah, the Chumash, or the Torah Shebichsav, even if they don't understand the word that they're saying, they're Makayim the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's not necessarily true of Torah Shebaal Peh, of the oral Torah. The oral Torah may be, since the words themselves are not codified, so it might be that it's understanding, it's the extent that you ingest it. But with the Torah Shebichsav, just the words, there's a magic in the words, meaning we know that when we're reading the words of the Torah, we don't get it all. Says the Maral, that's the three layers of Shnayim Mikra V'Echa Targum. The lower layer is Targum, which is the parts of Torah you read, you understand, you can tell over the story, and so on and so forth. There's a second layer, which requires greater chachma, greater wisdom. The ideas behind the story that a human being would be able to understand. But then there are the ideas that are even further behind the story, that even a human being is not able to see and to understand. Three levels. Chazal spoke about, you know, Pshat, Remez, Rus, Soit, four layers, and so on and so forth. Maral here is saying three, very understandable that three such levels exist. And that, again, that's his fundamental response to the philosophers. So if I can just you know, follow through for a second. So of course we have the great metaphor of once we're mentioning of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Sheisiv Seistav Daivais Bekever, right, which is really to some degree a foundational principle of the whole work of the Maral, where Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, you know, you have a person, right, and they're a little boy, he's 5 years old, and they go shopping right before school, and his mother buys him an undershirt. And he's very excited about his undershirt. He goes to school, right, and he's wearing a new undershirt, right? And then he gets to first grade, right? So he's going to also go to school, he's going to wear the same undershirt. It'll stretch a little bit, right? When he's in sixth grade, when he's in Beis Medrash, or he's in college, or he's working, right, he can't wear that undershirt anymore, right? You got to get a new one. You got to get a bigger one. In the Midbar, you know, we learned yesterday in the end of the Parsha, you know, that the Chazal say that they didn't have to wear their clothes. Their clothes grew with them, you know. Says the Rav Yaakov, he says, it's an interesting thing. He says, we learn a Pasuk Chumash, where we learn about a story about Avram and Sarah. Right, when we're in kindergarten, they tell us the story, right? Oh, Avram and Sarah, this happened, that happened, and so on and so forth. It's a size kindergarten story, right? It says, when we're in third grade, are we still wearing the same size chumash? When we're already 20 years old, are we still wearing the same size chumash? You need to get a new size. Now, the magic of Torah is that it grows with you like the clothing in the Midbar. In other words, you can tell the person the story of Avram and Sarah, and a 5-year-old will appreciate the story. And a 10-year-old, however, should be hearing more of the story. And a 20-year-old should be hearing infinitely more of the story. Our understanding has to go from Targum to Mikra, from some simply what anybody can understand to something deeper. And of course, that's the whole Maral's raison d'etre. We read the words of Chazal, and we take them at face value. Chazal are telling us the story. Okay, so she's called Vashti, she grew a tail, and she couldn't come to the party because who would want to show up with a tail, right? Right? That's why you heard the story when you were in kindergarten. Right? That was why your mother made you a Purim costume. You know, you'd be dressed up as Vashti, and you had a little tail with a pom-pom in the end. Right? That's the way it was. But Chazal were telling us something deeper. Chazal were telling us something so much deeper. So when do we do that? When do we get there? That's the layers. So the philosophers were caught up in the pom-pom. The philosophers were caught up in just the superficial story. Here, look at this. They tell these stories and so on and so forth. Right? So you know, we'll still find, you know, ourselves as adults reading the little Medrash says when we shouldn't. Right now, it's time to be learning the what is this Medrash? Don't read 25 Medrashim on the Parsha just telling you nice, interesting stories. Read one and find where. A place where the Maral talks about it. Find where the Sfasemis talks about it. Find where somebody talks about it. And start to see, not Targum, but the Lashon HaKodesh. Start to see the secrets and the depth of it to the extent that it's possible for us to be able to see it. That's the thing. There's an Hashama to Torah. One who just sees the Levush and says, these are just the stories. Woe to that person. Gal Einai Ve'abita Niflois Mitayra Secha. I'm sorry. What do you want to say?
A question before you said this reminded me of something Rabbi Rishonfeld gave over one of his shir. And I think, I'm not 100% sure of the person, so, but I think it was the Alter Slobodka who sent a letter to his son when he was 18 saying, you know, happy birthday. I just wanted to let you know I was contemplating raising you, not from, seriously, very seriously. So when you turned 18, I could introduce you to Torah and you could learn on the level of an 18 year old. But then I saw the world and how dangerous it is, and there was no. It wasn't clear that you would make it to 18 as well. But the idea was there that a person needs to be looking at it, you know, not from a child's eyes. I just thought that was okay, that's what you were saying. So I have a question. The third level that you're speaking about, the way you described it was it's not understandable. You described the Maharal as saying it's not an understandable level. Is it that it's not understandable, or that are we talking about the depths of you should push yourself to understand it?
There's something called Ayin Leiruasa Elohim Zulasecha, something which even the Nevi'im could not talk about or communicate. Only Hashem's eye has seen it. Only Hashem's eye has seen it. There's an aspect of Torah which precedes creation, which is with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We process the Torah through our brains, right? We use our neshama. But you know, your neurons, you know, they're firing, right? And your brains, you know, you'll see it on an MRI scan. You process it through physical tools. There has to be some way that these truths of Torah are still going to grab on to a normal physical human consciousness. The gift of the neshama put into the human being is that somehow those things are going to be able to be mixing together. But there's parts of us, you know, the neshama's knowledge that doesn't come to the brain. There's parts of what's in the neshama that doesn't come to the brain, that the person can't. It's just, it's beyond. It's indeed beyond. His grip on it is going to be through what he can handle, through what he can touch, through the levush, through the guf. Right? That's what's going to be his grip on it. But he won't understand it at all until there's a level of tire. I can't tell you where that level is because we can only go up to where we can stop, you know? But there's a level of it to which we can't get. So, you know, you'll have the people who will practice, you know, whether koiches hatuma or koiches hatara lahavdil, through pure impure means, that they'll do some kind of transcendent, you know, meditation to remove themselves from physical world to be able to see things that they can't see, which is to some degree how nevuah worked, right? That the body stopped and this, right? That's why they all fainted and went into fits when they had nevuah. But that's not for us. That's not for us. Even the Nevuah was such that when they came back to themselves, the brain could have it, right? But again, the Ayin Le'ruas Elokim, the Nevuim couldn't describe things which could only be seen completely separate from the. So there is a level of that which we have to understand. There's a world to wait for.
So the Kavana on that third level is that we might not understand it, but we need to go through the motions.
Absolutely. You read it without understanding it. It's not just the story of the Bardichever, you know, about the fellow who was there and reading and didn't know what he was talking about and he was so pleased with him. Right? When Reb Moshe Feinstein, Lahavdil Alef Alfei Hevdalot, was sitting and reading the Chumash and he was understanding and when the Maral was reading, understanding deep, 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 there was a level on which he was that Bardichever. He was just reading it and there are layers that were completely removed even from him. Says the Maral, that's Marichim Yom Avos Shnei Sof. when a person studies Torah, and it's not just the simple rudimentary level, but it's also the level of chachma, and he also does the level of reading, understanding that there's something beyond, that's the key to longer life. Because then, he's not just dealing with life on the level that it can be touched here. If he's leaving life on the level, then his v'chaibahem is going to be limited to the glass ceiling of this world. But when you understand that there are things beyond, then that makes you beyond. That makes you that ben olam haba, that person with connection, with membership already in the world to come, even already in this world.
So does learning Torah then help you, or can it help you kind of upgrade your hardware a little bit, physically? I mean, does it purify your body? Well, I mean, from a mental standpoint, capacity standpoint, by learning and challenging yourself, do you better gym thing to improve your capacity?
Or whatever the herbs are.
Okay. For Chaim, Chali and Taich. Yes.